whether it's of the day or of life itself, evening time is a time for recollection. To recollect means to gather ourselves up into meditation. We have here and now only a moment for this. That is enough. But first, the story. It began 40 days ago when the baby was born. The boy who was born to be a light. Or maybe it began when the angel first told Mary of her special calling. Or during the reign of King David. Or when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. Or when Abraham set out from his hometown of Ur in the Chaldees to become the father of more than all the stars in the heavens and all the grains on the seashore, to be a blessing to all the peoples of God's creation. Whenever we choose to begin the story, it's fraught with difficulties from the beginning. Yet Mary and Joseph manage to rise above the uncertainties, and they travel to Jerusalem to face further public embarrassment. It was a custom to dedicate the first son to God 40 days after his birth, to offer a sacrifice at the temple to redeem the child. They did so to remind themselves that their child belonged to God. It was a reminder that God has a genuine claim on the best we have to offer. The required sacrifice was a lamb, but those too poor to buy a lamb could offer the lesser sacrifice of birds. The crowds in the temple precincts would know who they were. Bird people were poor people. The consolation may have been that they were not alone. Many people were out of work. The land was occupied by Rome. Taxes were high and the government unstable. There was resistance to the state of things throughout the land. Common folk had trouble making ends meet. The lines in front of the pigeon sellers, it can be assured, were probably very long. Mary and Joseph were faithful to the custom of the 40 days. The number of days and nights of the flood, the number of days this child would walk in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. The number of years his people had wandered in the wilderness, becoming God's people in escaping from Egypt. The offering of these birds would be a memorial to all of the firstborn males ordered killed by Pharaoh in that first Holocaust, the one that only Moses survived. The custom of 40 days bound Mary and Joseph to their people and their past, just as this service ties us to ours. They had come to make a sacrifice and a commitment, which are really the same thing. There in the temple to receive Christ were two senior saints, Anna and Simeon. Luke describes Simeon as a righteous and devout man. He trusted in the promise of God and lived in that trust. Simeon was a man whose life was marked by the word. The Holy Spirit was upon him. He had been told by the Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Messiah. Such a heavy honour. Watching and waiting as each year passed, marked by the temple calendar. Atonement, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. Every day there were the sacrifices, morning and evening. Every day Simeon watched and waited. Would today be the day? A woman named Anna also waited in the temple. She was a prophetess from a tribe that had produced no prophet, a woman who spoke the word of God, who was devoted to fasting and prayer. She had been widowed in her early 20s, and though she certainly would have been free to marry again, she instead chose to focus on the coming redemption of Israel. Even the numbers of Anna's life bear prophetic testimony to God's grace. Married a divine 7 years, and now at the age of 84, in her 12th of her life, she is given to see God's salvation, the redemption of Israel. Simeon and Anna are faithful Israel living in the twilight years of their life. yet in the fullness of time, waiting patiently and intently, facing death every day, but clinging to God's promise, looking ahead to the day God's salvation was presented in the temple and laid in Israel's ancient arms. Little did Mary and Joseph know the offering they were making that day, not only to God, but to the whole world. Simeon and Anna were old people waiting to be released, waiting for their people to be released, waiting to see what we all hope to see, but are too busy to remember to look, for a glimpse of the future, a glimpse of the truth, a glimpse of relief and release. Simeon took the child out of Mary's arms and suddenly became a poet for the ages, announcing for all who cared to listen and hear that the child he held was not Mary's child, but God's very own. A child born to be light, light for all peoples everywhere and throughout all time. Simeon had seen the light. It must have been a crystalline moment of joy when Simeon received the baby Messiah into his trembling arms. His creaking voice must have rung out like a trumpet through the entire temple courtyard and over the walls and down the streets of Jerusalem as he chanted his spirit-breathed psalm. "Can you see it?" he cried out. "Here is the light which will withstand all darkness, any darkness, even death upon a Roman cross." Then quietly, Simeon handed the child back to his mother, and he is gone, released, God's promise fulfilled. Simeon returns to God as the mother and father look on. Joseph with the birds in his hands, Mary with the child born to be light, all of the other mothers and fathers gathered in the temple were looking on. There is no death wish on the part of Simeon, no sigh of resignation. This is his "deliver us from evil" prayer. His vigil is ended. His watch had run its course. Now he could pray that the Lord would take him at last from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. Simeon can look death squarely in the eye, knowing that his eyes had seen God's salvation, knowing that in his arms he held the devil-crushing, death-destroying God incarnate. The world would call Simeon a madman and a lunatic. Such high and glorious names he gives to this baby: God's salvation, the light of all nations, the glory of Israel. Even Mary and Joseph are amazed at his words. How can such infinitely wonderful things be said about such a tiny and helpless thing? Our saviours are supposed to be bigger than we are, strong and mighty. Our lights are neon and laser. Our glory is glitter and gold. But this poor child appears so tiny, so helpless, so impoverished, so weak. Our enemies loom large next to him. Sin, disease, violence, guilt, evil, the law, God's wrath, death. It's Gideon's army of 300 against the mighty Midianites. David's slingshot versus Goliath's sword. The divine versus the devil. The world and our sinful selves. Is this child strong enough? Some would say, we don't know, we're not sure. The gods of our age are tough competition. We must help him. We need to boost him, prop him up, make him more marketable and meaningful, defend him, give him a new look, crank up the volume, turn up the hype, search out new methods and measures to push him to number one in the charts. Look for clever ways to wrap him up in a modern blanket or an antique one, plain or fancy, wool or polyester, contemporary or traditional. Should we sing his praises with piano or organ, guitar and chorus, or hymns? Shame on us. We bicker over the blanket. We ignore the baby. we forget that this child is the God whose power is made perfect in weakness, who hides his riches under poverty, his strength under weakness, his glory under a cross. He is the God who deals with our sin by becoming our sin, who deals with our death by dying our death. He is the sign spoken against, the rejected Redeemer, the man of sorrows, the suffering servant. The cross cast its shadow over Jesus' presentation in the temple. The sword that would pierce his side, bringing the sacramental flow of water and blood, would also pierce the soul of his mother as she stood by and watched her son give his life for the world. The cross marks the life of this child, and it marks all who follow him. But if we learn one thing from Simeon, it is this: when Christ appears most weak and most vulnerable, there he is most of a saviour, light and glory. In the manger, in Simeon's arms, on the cross. "Don't trust your eyes," Simeon would say to us. "Trust God's word, that in spite of appearances, this child is God's salvation, light and glory. We are sinful, but he is a yet great saviour from sin. We are weak, but he is strong. We are darkness, but he is light. We are shame, but he is glory. It doesn't matter who we are or what we have done, whether we are good or bad, rich or poor, religious or unreligious, young or old, married or single or widowed. Cradled in the empty arms of faith, this child is our salvation, our light, our glory. Now we are here tonight, part of that same crowd straining to catch a glimpse of the light. As it was for Simeon, a moment will have to be long enough. Tonight we gather with darkness all around. Like Mary and Joseph, we come to remember our past and God's saving actions. We come to renew our commitment to God, and like Simeon, to catch a glimpse of the light so we can tell others what we have seen. So that, like the boy who was born to be light, we too can become a light for others. Tonight we have only a moment to catch that glimpse and then live accordingly. We hold the light of the gospel in our hands, a sign of God's Holy Spirit of love, which enlightens us and empowers us to reach out to one another and allow ourselves to be transformed. A moment, though, as it was for Simeon, is more than enough to become the light that we hold. Amen.